We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Monday morning in Brevard County, and here we are already in the month of May. I tell you, I do believe that a lot of great people were born in the month of May, and this year, my wife and I are going to get promoted to grandparents in the month of May, and so we're really excited going from father to grandfather. That's really exciting for us, and so, but it's hard to believe. One-third of 2016 is already in the rearview mirror. With that being said, how's that one-third gone for you? Are you growing in your faith? How many people have you led to the Lord? How many people have you got to pray with to see miracles? You know, we're challenging our congregation to be more fruitful and not just to wait, not say just 4 months and then the harvest, but to really be active in being a blessing to their community right now in all that they do. So I just want to make you aware, one-third of it's gone. We're not getting that one-third back. Can't do anything about what has already taken place. The only thing we can do is hear from God, say, God, what would you have me to do in the latter part of 2016 so that I can be a fruitful servant of yours? So that's what we were talking about last week in Isaiah chapter 5, being fruitful versus being unfruitful, and we want to be fruitful. We do want to say thank you once again to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 632-9538, 632-9538. You know, I was in Texas one time, and there was an electrical situation, and I just walked over, and I just pointed at it and at something, and the person that was doing the work, they knocked my hand away, said, "Don't touch that." I said, I wasn't going to touch it. But you need a professional electrician. I want to encourage you to call Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical. They can come and they can get you fixed up and everything working the way that it is supposed to. So that's what I would encourage you to do. 632-9538. They can be a blessing to you. Give them a call and they will get you up and running. So next, we got a lot of activities that are going on this week. We have our ladies tea brunch. They are exchanging teacups this coming Saturday morning. We have our powerhouse youth that is meeting on Friday night. Our kids on Wednesday night, they're actually cooking dinner for their mothers for Mother's Day. And so we've got a lot of things that are going on this week, a lot of exciting things. And we pray that you are getting ready. Sunday is Mother's Day. I pray that you will allow God to do something special through you to bless your mother. If your mother is still alive, make sure that you thank her for being your mom. If, you know, she wasn't perfect, extend to her the same mercy that God extended to you for not being perfect, okay? So that's what's coming up this week, and we pray that you are making preparations to be a blessing to those around you. If you can attend any of those events, we encourage you to do so. We'd be pleased to have you. We're going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 5 today. Isaiah chapter 5. I want to remind you about our vintage service Wednesdays at 11 a.m., and this week our kids' ministry is a little different. It is, you know, the kids cooking and cleaning for their moms, and a lot of those moms are they're involved in our feeding program on Wednesday night, where we feed a bunch of kids and a bunch of adults, and It's not fancy meals. A couple of weeks ago, we had bologna sandwiches. But I'm telling you what, it staved off starvation. And there were some chips and some other things involved there. It's not fancy food. It won't be five-star cuisine. But I will say this. With our kids, we don't have much in the way of leftovers. They really, really enjoy the food. So if that can be a blessing to you, bring your kids out. We will pour the word of God into them and help train them up to be men and women of God. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 8, it's where we're going to begin this week. And it says, "Woe to those who join house to house, they add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and the flute and wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands." Let's stop the reading there today and let's look to see what this application of Isaiah chapter 5 might have to say to you and I that could benefit us here in 2016. In verse number 8, it talks about those who join house to house and field to field till there is no place, and they dwell alone in the midst of the land. This is talking about a segment of society. Now, this would probably be the nobility class. This would have been the upper echelon. And it said that what they had done is they had pushed other people out, and they had isolated themselves. They had tried to isolate where they were the only ones that were going to have any economic gain. I would tell you that isolating yourself is an extremely dangerous thing to do. That you are no match for the devil on your own. There is no such thing as a self-made millionaire. There is no such thing as a self-made anything other than you can be a self-made mess. God wants us. In fact, we were created for relationship. If I were to give one word that describes Christianity, that distinguishes it from any of the other world religions, it is this: it is relationship. God wants to have relationship with us, and he created us for relationship, not only with him, but with other people as well. You and I were created as social beings, not social network beings, social beings. We were created to be like iron sharpens iron. And there is such a tendency. Now, you may not be able to buy multiple houses. You might not be able to buy up all of the land around you to where you can't even see a neighbor. You may not be able to live like that, but in our current society, there is still, through technology, there is still a tendency to be isolated. I can't tell you the number of times I have seen people sitting next to one another, and they're completely, they're in the same room at the same table even, and they are ignoring one another while they are dealing with people via text message and social media platforms. They are dealing in other types of secondary relationships and not valuing the relationship that has been placed right in front of them. One day, we were driving down the road, and the cell plan at that point in time was much different. You had limited numbers of text messages instead of unlimited text, and so there we were, and my kids were text messaging one another from the back seat to the front seat. And then my son, he was text messaging his cousin in Oklahoma, and somebody in the back seat was talking to my dad in Oklahoma, and the cousin and my dad were in the same room, and instead of actually having a conversation, they were texting back and forth. And that's just kind of a humorous little thing there, but there with technology, people, see, I came from Oklahoma, and people didn't have back porches in Oklahoma. They had front porches. And what you would do on the front porch is you would sit out there, and you would be able to talk with whoever came up. You would be able to see who came into your yard and all of that. It was a social place. Now, it didn't mean that things didn't go on in the backyard too. There were conversations that would, you didn't have all of the privacy fences and everything. You'd go back and you know, because you had good neighbors and everything, you didn't want to be isolated from them. You wanted to engage them. Now, let me talk to you about one of the dangers of isolation, and that is this. When we are isolated from everybody else around us, it is virtually impossible for us to win that person for Jesus. You say, well, I don't want my neighbors all up in my business. I don't want them knowing everything that's going on. But in the meantime, they don't get to see the reality of your life. They don't get to see the reality of my life. And we don't develop that relationship where we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. And that's one of the dangers of isolation. I can still remember one of the very first sermons that I preached. It was in Bible school, and it was I'm trying to turn over there just a moment. And it was in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. Now, it's hard to believe that I can remember this sermon. And it was 35 years ago. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So being isolated is detrimental to our well-being. And so I encourage you, do not be isolated. If you own a big house, you know, God bless you. Praise God. That's probably going to be one of the best investments you ever have in your life. It's going to yield. So I'm not here. There are some people that want to guilt trip you and all that. I know people who have had big houses, and they use that because they were faithful stewards of God's resources. I'm not here to beat you up for that. But I do want to warn you about the danger of not being socially engaged with your neighbors and with those around you. You are susceptible to spiritual attack. You are susceptible to a lack of efficiency, and your fruitfulness is not going to be as good as if you were working together on a team. Here's a newsflash for you. The Lone Ranger never was the Lone Ranger. He had Tonto. And there are no Lone Rangers in Christianity. You were meant for fellowship. And so I want to encourage you that if you are in Central Brevard County and you do not have a church home, find one. There's lots of churches. If you don't have one, we would love for you to come and be a part of Merit Assembly of God. Now, we're not a perfect fit for everybody. I'm not here to say that we are. But I will tell you, I preach pretty similar to the way that you hear me on the radio here, only with a lot more questions and interaction and things like that. This is who I am. At home, this is who I am. At work, this is who I'm at. On the radio, this is who I am. And so if you come to church and you expect me to be Adrian Rogers or Charles Stanley, I'm sandwiched by those two saints of God here on both sides of me, on the clock. But I'm not those guys. God made them to be them. He made me to be me. And so if you are not socially engaged, if you do not have a local church, you need to find one. It is for you. Say, oh, listen, I can survive. Well, you are also, if you are not socially engaged with on a spiritual level, you are depriving someone else of the spiritual maturity that God may have developed in you. So please understand, it is not about you alone. It's about what God wants to do on your behalf and through you and through me. Now, it says that what would happen is that there truly many houses would be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant, for 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and an omer of seed shall yield one ephah. Now, what they are talking about there is due to an agricultural failure, that there was a socioeconomic collapse. And so all of these grandiose dwelling places that they had, nobody wanted to live there because nobody could grow any food there. They had to go someplace else to find the food that they needed. So if you think that the economic collapse that we just that began back in 2005, I'm not going to say that it's ended yet. I just am not persuaded of that. I don't care what the stock market says. I know too many people who have jobs that they're just barely scraping by on. They're not making anywhere near the income that they were 10 years ago. I know college students who are just barely able to pay their student loan bills because the jobs that they were promised were going to be, you know, $30,000 and $40,000 a year jobs. They just aren't $30,000 and $40,000 a year jobs anymore. The world is in an economic mess. And it's not the first one. So, you know, I teach history, and one of the things that I quote is, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history. And sadly, that's true in too many cases. So we need to figure out how God brought people out of economic chaos in the past, because he can bring us out of that economic chaos again. I would encourage you, God says it is better to accrue wealth a little at a time rather than, you know, looking for the quick and easy way. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about economics. And so I would encourage you to study that. Too many times the people think that the Bible is only dealing with spiritual issues and heaven. It really deals a lot with the realities of life. And we would be very well served if we would pay attention to what God's word says. Take a look at it. See what it says for yourself, okay? Verse number 11, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. The harp and strings, the tambourine and the flutes and the wine are in their feast, but they do not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of his hands. When we became pastors, it was probably year three or year four. We had a Sunday night where we did not have a service. We decided that we would go down to the pier over in Cocoa Beach, and we would see what was going on. Turns out that it was spring break, that there was the surf festival that was going on, and I had grown up in a public high school. My wife grew up in a public high school. We were not insulated. We you know, knew people who drank. We knew people who did things that they weren't supposed to do, knew people who did drugs. I know people who went to jail for doing drugs. I knew people who died in drug deals gone bad. I had not lived, you know, that sheltered life where I'd never seen the devastation of life. I've watched too many lives destroyed by things, and went down to the pier and saw people who were participating in drinking games. Those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, until wine inflames them. And it was like, one particular one that I saw had a person that was being held upside down, and there was a funnel that they were using to pour an entire beer down these people's throat and get them to drink it. And evidently it would go to their head faster. And I watched as they stood this person up after they had done that, and they fell completely over, passed out. And I was like, oh my goodness. I know that there's a movie called Animal House. I never watched it because that was not my type of form of entertainment. And so maybe that's one of the places where it was made popular. I don't know. I don't care. All I do know is that thousands of years before I ever experienced that, God was saying that there is going to be people who, as soon as they get up, they're thinking about getting drunk or intoxicated, and they're going to continue all the way up until the night, until wine begins to have its effect on them or alcohol has its effect on them. And here we are 2,000 years later, and people haven't gotten any smarter. God does not say that that is a form of blessing. He says this to it, woe. You see, it says wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler, and I don't want anybody, any substance, I don't want that substance having control over me. I don't want to be the object of ridicule. I don't want it to make a mockery of my life. I don't want people to see a picture of Pastor Bob, you know, being arrested for DUI. I don't want anybody to see a picture of that. And so I avoid that stuff at all costs. It's not that I've never been offered it. I have. I don't want it. I've seen too many lives destroyed by it. God says it is a source of woe, not a source of joy. So if there's any young adults out there that are listening to me right now, you might think I'm an old fuddy-duddy, and that's okay. That's okay if you think that. I'm just trying to share wisdom with you, because I had too many family members that alcohol ruined their life. I can think of three. I can think of more than that. I can think of four. I can think of six, if you throw in drugs, of people who chased intoxication instead of sobriety, and it killed them. There's another one. I'm up to seven. By the time I get to the end of the broadcast here, I could think of several relatives that there's a few more. It's not in your, not only is it not in your spiritual best interest, it is not in your social best interest. How many people do stupid things when they're drunk that they regret when they are sober? God, in His mercy, wants us to avoid those things. Not only that, there are consequences to that sort of stuff, and the "it will never happen to me" defense just won't work. I was ministering to a guy one time. He had already had three DUIs, and he said, if I were to go into a bar, I could drink an entire 12-pack of beers, and if you were to ask me when I got done with that 12-pack if I was drunk, I would tell you no. But three times a police officer had told him yes. Don't fall for the devil's trap. And it says, there may be people who are experts and have all of these festivities go, but listen to what it says in verse number 12, but they do not regard the work of the Lord nor consider the operation of His hands. You see, if the devil can keep you and I compromised, compromised spiritually, compromised decision-making wise, compromised relationally, if he can keep us compromised with that, then we don't give any consideration to what God is doing. We don't consider how he operates. And that is a recipe for an eternity separated from God. So let me ask you right now, how much time have you spent this weekend contemplating the ministry of God? What do you want him to do in your life? Will you partake? Will you getting drunk off your horse? You know, I've just made the, you know, if you just get completely and totally snockered, how is God going to work in a positive manner? As I'm sitting here and I'm sharing this, I'm thinking about the night that the handwriting appeared on the wall in Babylon. And you know what they had been doing? They had been drinking out of the holy vessels and using that to partake of their intoxicating drink. And Daniel comes in and he reads the writing on the wall and he says, you can keep your reward for yourself. It's not going to matter. And destruction was at the gates. There, I can think of another battle in scriptures where the enemy tried to engage in battle and they were drunk. And as a result, they ended up getting defeated. God does not want you defeated. He wants you. Consider the way God works. Consider how his hand operates. And then when you realize that the devil is trying to fill our society with these things so that we do not consider God, so that we do not consider how he operates, you have to ask yourself, what would be the devil's motive for that? What does he really do? Well, first of all, he is a liar and the father of it. I read this the other day. When he lies, he is speaking out of his own resources. He steals and he kills and he destroys. So whenever he's trying to get you and I ensnared in this stronghold, you can rest assured he's trying to steal something from you and he's trying to bring about your destruction. Let's not let him have his way. Let's live a life this week where we do consider the things of God, where we do regard the work of the Lord. Sunday's coming up. Make sure that you make God a priority. Amen. God bless you. You have a great Monday, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, bring you something new, tell how great you are, tell my praise to you. It's like a